Mark chapter 11, verse 1. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, now as we turn to your word, for many of us in this room, it's a familiar word. We hear it every year at this time. Would you help us be awake to it today, as if for the first time? Would you help us stand there on the sides of the road as you pass by? And could we declare your kingship with the excitement, with the hopefulness of those first proclaimers? Would you awaken our hearts, O Lord, to see you and to worship you as we lean into your word? Would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you can help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 5 days, Jesus will be killed. In 7 days, Jesus will raise from the dead. On this day, Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, where it's all going to go down. And every single thing he does during this last week of his life will be a declaration of what kind of king he is. If we're going to call Jesus our king, which we've all said at least 50 times already today, if we're going to call him our king, we have got to know what kind of king Jesus claims to be. We join the crowds and we wave our branches and we pay attention because we want to know what kind of king Jesus is. If he is our king, we've got to know at least what we're signing up for. On this Sunday in Jerusalem, Jesus declares first and foremost that he is a promised king. And let me rephrase that. Not just a promised king, but he is the promised king. The day starts with those clear instructions that he gives to his disciples to go into town and find the colt of a donkey tied up that has never been ridden. Bring it to him. Jesus isn't going to enter Jerusalem in just any old way that he can get there. He's got his mind set on one way, and it will only be that way. It'll be on a donkey, a colt, the child of a donkey, a baby donkey. And he will ride that into the city. Why a donkey, we ask? I mean, it's definitely not the animal that declares to the world, "Your king has come." See the donkey? Proof. Doesn't do that. The donkey is not an animal that turns heads. It's definitely not the fastest way to get there. Anybody ever ridden a donkey? They're stubborn and they go at their own pace. You can't make them go faster than they want to go. Not the fastest way to get there. It's not the most convenient way to get there. He doesn't even have a donkey around him in the moment. He tells them to go and find one. This choice of a donkey, it's intentional. And with it, Jesus is saying, I am not your typical king. I come on a donkey, a humble donkey, a beast of burden. Most importantly, I come on the animal that the living God promised years ago that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on. It goes back to the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. These words came 500 years before this Sunday in Jerusalem. 500 years before, the prophet Zechariah says this, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." You see, Jesus, without saying a word, declares, I am not your ordinary king. I'm not chosen by the majority. The majority usually doesn't choose so well. I'm not the king appointed by any human council. He's saying, I am the only promised king. I am the king chosen eons ago by God the King. I am the only true, the only eternal king. Jerusalem, your king comes, righteous and victorious is he, riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. This is God's promised king. There's never been one like him before, and there will be none coming after him. He is the one. Jesus is the only king that has been promised to come to us from heaven. He's the only king that is capable of bringing heaven to earth and earth to heaven. This is our Jesus riding on a donkey, just like the prophet said. Jesus, the promised king. What kind of king is this? This promised king. Sent by God, this king who is God. What kind of king is this? He's also the kind of king who actually allows his people to help him along his journey. What an unexpected thing for a God king to do, to need his people. You see, Jesus doesn't already have his donkey on hand on this Palm Sunday. He sends disciples into town with those simple instructions. Find it tied up, untie it. If the people ask, why are you taking our donkey? Just say, the Lord needs it, and they'll be cool with it. Jesus is the kind of king who from day one actually allowed himself to need the love and the care and the generosity of his people to fulfill his given purpose. From day one, he needed a mother to carry him in her womb. He needed parents who would feed him and clothe him and protect him, this God King. As an adult, he traveled to and fro, and the gospel says he had no place to lay his head unless somebody was going to open their home and give him a bed. Even on Friday of this week, during the crucifixion, Jesus is going to need someone to carry that cross for him for a while. And on this day, Jesus needs a donkey. Someone. He needs someone who's going to trust these strangers with their valued possession just because these guys say, don't worry, the Lord needs it, needs it. Most kings don't so much invite people to join them as they use their people to prop them up. But not King Jesus. King Jesus invites anyone who might be willing to actually help him to move as he moves to save us. See, Jesus doesn't just want to use us. He doesn't just want to do his thing and ignore us. But Jesus actually wants to partner with us. Tell them the Lord needs it, and they will gladly let that donkey go. And they did. They did. Are you partnering with your King Jesus on this Palm Sunday? Are you letting him use the things in your life that he needs as his kingdom advances among us? Are we letting our donkeys be untied and walk away, whatever our donkeys may be? Are we participating, actively participating in this great movement of Jesus the King and his kingdom coming to earth? What kind of king is he? The kind who lets his people participate with him. What kind of king is this? Jesus is a humble king. Sticking with this donkey for another minute, Zechariah says it's not just the promised animal. He says he will come riding on a donkey because humble and lowly is he. You see, this is something. Because on this exact same day, across town, on the other side of Jerusalem, Pilate would have been entering the city too. He's the Roman leader of the land. And in the week of Passover, tens of thousands of Jews would be descending on this great city. And the Roman leadership, they knew that this could lead to trouble. Tens of thousands of people you're oppressing, hanging out together for a week, things could go sideways. And so the Romans would send in their leadership, and they would come into the city on that very same day with their intimidating presence to make everyone see who's in charge around here. Pilate would come in, and behind him would be the whole imperial cavalry. He'd be on his war horse, and he would head straight to his palace there in Jerusalem. And with everything he was doing, he was saying, here's who has control around here. Here's who's in power, and here is who will threaten you with your life if you try to push against it. The statement of who's running the shots around here, moving by intimidation and threat of force if need be, the very same day. See, oftentimes the pilots of our world are the kings that we're still most drawn to, if we're honest. We still, 2,000 years later, we still tend to want the king with the bigger weapons, or the king with the bigger threats, or the king with the bigger armies behind them. We want the kings who speak with power and authority. We want the kings who put all the other kings in their places, who arrive on their stallions, or at least in their fighter jets. Jesus, the King, enters the same city on the same day on the least intimidating animal of all. Not just a donkey, but a colt, a foal of a donkey. He's not come to bully or intimidate his way to the throne. He's not the kind of king who will ever get his way by violence or by force. No, he's the riding on a donkey, humble servant king. He's the kind of king who quietly invites, who gently shows the way. He's the king who has come to love. He's the king who has come to serve. He's a king who has come to change the world in ways that power and force have never been able to change the world. This is our Jesus. He is a humble king. We don't like that so much. I see it. People are fidgeting. I get it. We're not comfortable with humility. They weren't back then either. His humility is part of what made the crowds turn on him. You see, the Jews, they wanted this Messiah that they had been waiting for to show up. And when he was going to show up, he was going to step up. And he was going to push those Romans back harder than those Romans had been pushing them all these years. That's what they wanted, not the humble king. And even though that's what they wanted, Jesus still wouldn't do it. And he still won't. Jesus' kingdom will never move forward by forced policies or by his people yelling and shouting, trying to intimidate others into behaving better. No, that's not how he works. Jesus' kingdom has always come by a people who are not looking to places of power at all. But his kingdom has always come through a humble people who are willing to be lowly, willing to love the world into the arms of Jesus, the humble, real servant king. What kind of king is this? He is a sacrificial king. Not a sacrificing king. They all do that. But a sacrificed king. And there is a big difference there. How many kings do you know who won't just gladly send their men to the front lines of battle to go and die for that king and that king's agenda, but who instead would go first and lay down their own lives for their people? We don't know kings like that, because that's not the way of the world's kings. But it is the way of Jesus, the king. As Pilate entered Jerusalem from his palace in Caesarea that was on the coast, if you do the geography in your head, he would have entered the city from the west. Jesus on this day entered the city from the east. Two kings entering the same city from two different entry points. And here's the thing about entering Jerusalem from the east, as Jesus did. Jesus wasn't the only one walking that path that day, not by a long shot. On that Sunday before Passover, the sacrificial lambs that were raised in that little rural town of Bethlehem, sound familiar? Sacrificial lambs born in Bethlehem. Interesting. It's about 3 miles from Jerusalem. On that Sunday, these tens of thousands of lambs would be walked into the city of Jerusalem to be led to the temple, where they'd be inspected by the temple priest to make sure they were clean enough for every Jewish family that was in Jerusalem that week to pick out their lamb that they would sacrifice come Passover evening. We are talking tens of thousands of lambs entering Jerusalem from the east. You wonder why they threw their cloaks on the ground? You ever follow 10,000 lambs into a city? It's nasty. You thought our little parade was hard. Try that parade. That's nasty. They throw their cloaks on the ground. Tens of thousands of lambs entering Jerusalem. These lambs that were soon to be sacrificed by every Jewish family as an offering for forgiveness for their sins. And so every Sunday before Passover, all the families that had come to Jerusalem for the week, they would line the streets of Jerusalem and they would celebrate as all of these lambs passed them by. They'd wave their branches and they would thank God for these lambs that had come to take away their sins. And at the end of the line that day, there was another kind of lamb. A king riding on a donkey, quietly but clearly proclaiming, "Here comes the Lamb of God." Marching toward the temple, where he knew his very life would be demanded of him in just a few days. Where he knew he'd become the sacrifice for all of our sins, for all of time. You see, this king, he doesn't demand we get on the front lines and die so he can have his agenda and he can have his throne. No, this king gets in line with a bunch of lambs to be slaughtered as the Lamb of God. to say, I love you so much that I, Jesus the King, would rather die as your lamb than live without you. That's what kind of king this is. There's only one king, my friends, that loves us like that. There is only one king that is worthy of our waving branches and our bowed down hearts. There is only one king that is worthy of our passionate social media posts and our utter devotion. The only king who at the end of the day cares more about us than his very own neck. The only king who knows us by name and chooses to lay his life down for us. That is Jesus, our King. Is he your only hope this day? Is he the one you declare your allegiance to? Is the way he moves the way we move? If our King gladly lays down his life for us, do we ever return the gesture and gladly lay down our lives in love for him? What kind of King is this? What kind of King is this? He is a Savior King, but not just for some, but for all. The Jewish crowd that day, they shout out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of David. You see, they're still thinking this is their new king. Come to save them, the new David. Come to get them back their kingdom. Come to put the Romans in their place. And over the next few days, Jesus will show them that he has indeed come to save. But not just some people. All the people. Even those pesky Romans. He is a king who has no favorites. He is a king who has no chosen nation. He is a king who has no chosen people. He is a king who has no secret agenda that only benefits a few. He is a king who has come to bestow his love and his grace on all the people everywhere. And so his followers will be for all the people everywhere. His followers will love all the people where? Everywhere. His people will celebrate good that comes to all the people everywhere. This is Jesus, the Savior of all. He is that kind of king. And I tell you, it won't take long for this crowd of celebrants to become a crowd of scoffers. Won't take long. When Jesus the King refuses to bow down to mold himself to the crowd's agendas, won't take long. When Jesus refuses to arm himself in the presence of Roman soldiers, it won't take long. When Jesus tells the Jews that their most sacred temple is on the way out, it's not going to take long. When he refuses to guarantee those religious leaders a special place in his kingdom, it's not going to take long. When he refuses to put Pilate in his place, but sits quietly in the presence of the governor saying, are you the king or not? And he just sits there not playing the politics game at all. It's not going to take long. When he just won't exchange that darn donkey for a war horse, it won't take long. And one by one, the people drop their palm branches. And instead, they clench their fist and they shout out, no more hosannas, but instead, crucify him. This isn't the king we signed up for. This humble, sacrificial, nonviolent Good to all servant king, not my king. What about us? Is he really our king? Will we keep waving our palms? Or will we crucify him when Jesus the King refuses to bow down to our agendas for what he should do and who he should put in their place? Will we move with him? Will we move with him? Even when that road leads us to grace for our enemies, still our King. What about when that road leads us to sacrifice of our own wills, of our own bodies, still our King? What about when that road leads us to humility and our own strong convictions? Will he still be our King? What about when that road leads us to love for all people everywhere? Wave those palms. And shout Hosanna to Jesus the King. Just be sure we know what kind of King he is. Would you pray with me? And so Jesus, you're the King. We are not. Mold us into your heart, into your ways. And forgive us for when we try to mold you into ours. On this Palm Sunday, we declare anew and afresh, you, O Jesus, are King, and you get to be any kind of King you want to be. Oh, thank you that you would choose to be a King who's been promised, a King who is faithful to the end, and a King who moves in love and humility and sacrifice and grace for all. As we receive these gifts from you, we as your people also sign ourselves up to bestow these same gifts, love, grace, sacrifice, humility on our neighbors and even our enemies too, because you're the King and we're just your people moving as you move. Let it be so, we pray. Amen.